tonight. Now, people do not like to study the Bible. And some don't, some do. But we are commanded by God to study. It's a commandment. You know, a lot of churches tonight, as I mentioned a few weeks ago, they think, man, you ain't got no service unless you got some really feel-good, hyped up, and everybody, you know, all that. And there's nothing wrong with that to a certain extent. But I'm telling you, we need to get the Word of God in our heart. And that's what we're going to do tonight. Turn to John chapter 8. I was reading my Bible the other day, just in my daily Bible reading. I'm coming through John right now. Started in Matthew in January, and I started in Genesis in January. And I'm already to Numbers in the Old Testament and John in the New Testament. And I'm whizzing right along on my schedule, right on where I'm supposed to be. And I thank the Lord for that. Read the Bible through many, many, many years. And the New Testament about 75 times now. I'm pushing 30-something on the Old. And you never, ever get it all. You never do. And I was reading this scripture the other day, and these thoughts just grabbed me. We're going to look at an amazing story here in the Bible. You might see yourself in this story tonight. That's one of the amazing things about the Bible. When you read it, you say, oh my goodness, that sounds just like me. Or that sounds just like what I heard about. It's alive. This book is alive. So let's read it all tonight, and then we're going to go back and go through it. John chapter 8 and verse 1. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives. And early in the morning, well, some of y'all got left out right there, he came again into the temple. And all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. And so when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. What a story. What a story. What a story. I'm glad that's in the Bible, ain't you? I'm glad that Jesus deals with sinners and Jesus knows how to handle every situation. And what I want to do tonight, we're going to have a close Bible study of this story. And you'll get help if you'll listen. Now, look at verse, he went to the Mount of Olives. That's that great mount there that has to do with the second coming, all those places there in the mount where Jesus went. And in verse 2 it said, Early in the morning he came to the temple, and all the people came unto him. Keep your Bibles open now and follow along with me and look at what it said. All the people gathered to him here, and he sat down and taught them. I like that. Jesus sat down. Can you imagine that? The Lord sat down and they just all sat around and studied the Bible. Have you ever done that? You ever been to somebody's house or in a class or something and the teacher just sat down? Boy, the Lord, he put himself right down there on their level and sat down. Now that scripture said that all the people came. We was talking the other night in 1 Corinthians about all the people, and I believe it was Loreen asked me about that. Remember when you asked me about that, where it said all the, look at that verse right there. Verse 2 said, early in the morning he came to the temple and all the people came unto him. All the people came unto him. I don't think that means everybody in the world. It don't mean everybody even in Jerusalem. So you got to understand the context of that scripture. All the people means everybody in that church or everybody in that group, I guess. Now, if you say it means all without exception, it means everybody in the entire world, all the people. So you have to let the context, you have to read the scripture in context. So when it says all the people gather together, it's just like, it's like Sunday morning. I would get home and I would leave and I'd say, "Boy, how was church, brother?" And I said, "Man, it was great. Everybody was there." I don't mean everybody in the entire world. That means all of us, I assume. Now, if I'm reading that wrong, correct me. But I don't think it. I think that it means all the people. That means all the ones that were there that were followers of his in that group. If I'm wrong, correct me. But anyway, the point is, he sat down and he taught them. That means the Lord was a teacher. That means he was a Bible teacher. And that means we are not supposed to just preach, we're supposed to teach. Sometimes the Lord preached, sometimes he taught. My job as a pastor, I'm supposed to be out to teach. I know preachers, and I'm even hearing them bragging about it. They say, "Bless God, I preach Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, preach three times a week." I'm not saying they're wrong, but we are supposed to be, as pastors, we're supposed to teach a Bible. Now, real preaching will teach. If a man's doing the right kind of preaching, he's going to teach you something. You can teach without preaching, but you cannot preach without teaching. You're going to teach. I've heard Ed McAfee and some of them guys, even old Bobby Thompson, when he was a few weeks ago here, he taught and taught while he was preaching. Real preaching teaches while you're preaching. You hear a lot of preachers get up and they got a lot of noise and a lot of but when they get through and you leave, you don't even know what they said. And I'm not being critical. I'm just saying real Bible preaching will teach you something. Bible said he taught them. Now, here, let's get the scene here. You got all the people sitting around in the temple. Just like, let's just say we're there this evening. And the Lord, he's sitting down and we're all studying the Bible. Y'all are all there. We're in the temple. About that time, the door flies open and the Pharisees and the scribe bring this woman in. Right in the middle of that Bible study. Wouldn't that have been something? And they come dragging her in like that, and she's hiding her head in shame, you know, like they do when they arrest somebody, and they do like this so the cameras won't see them and everything. She comes in like that, bless her heart, and them Pharisees drag her in there and throw her right down in the middle, and she's with shame, and that's what causes this story. Look at verse number 3. Verse 3. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they set her in the midst, they say unto him, "Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act." Two things I want you to notice. One, they called him Master. Beware of anybody that just refers to Jesus as Master. You want me to show you how much more right with God she was than they was? Look at verse 11. She said, "No man, Lord." She called him Lord. They call him Master. You know who called Jesus Master? Judas Iscariot, the traitor. They say, "Oh, he's just the Master." Now, he is our Master, but he's Lord. He's Lord. And it's not the right terminology is Lord Jesus Christ. That's the terminology. We use to describe the Lord. I've heard people say, "Well, we got to pray at the ball game," but they don't even get to pray. They can't say Allah. They can't say Jesus. They just say a generic prayer. They tell all the chaplains nowadays, just say a generic prayer. Oh God, it could mean anything. But when you put that name, Lord Jesus Christ, you are excluding every other religion, God, in the universe, and that's what people don't like. She said, "Lord." They said, "Master." And the Bible said they brought this woman in and they took her in adultery in the very act. Verse 5, "Now Moses said in the law that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou?" Now stop and think about how amazing this is. They drag this woman in there, throw her down and say, "This woman was taken in adultery in the very act." I'm not going to talk too much about that, because we got kids in here. Now think about what they just said. I mean, I don't know what they done. Went in there and grabbed her. It said they took her in the act and drug her in there, wrapped a blanket around her or something, and drug her in there and threw her down. What kind of nuts are these people? And if you'll read this scripture, they didn't have a burden for her. They didn't care if she did commit adultery. All the reason they did this, they was trying to trap Jesus and make him say or do something wrong. That's the only motive they had. And I'm telling you, that's why them old preachers say them, the wickedest people in the world, religious people. The wickedest people in the world is religious people. Just about all wars have been fought in the name of some religion. Religion has caused more death and you know, these atheists get on TV and they say religion's caused all the war. They're right. But Christians, they're not talking about Christians, and they don't even know what a real Christian is. Christians don't cause wars. Religion does. Religion causes churches to split, families to break up, and everything. God don't. The Lord don't. And they brought her in there, throwed her down, and said, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now, the Bible says, Moses said, that such should be stoned. What do you say? What about that? Can you imagine that? And what they was trying to do is see if he would break the law of Moses. Now, when they put her in the middle, they made a spectacle of her. Now, let me just give you some notes that I wrote down today. Beware of people who are, listen to me, especially ladies, all your friends, everybody. You beware of people that are always wanting to catch somebody in their sin.
Yeah, that's right.
You better watch out for a person like that. A person like that has a big black sin of their own they're trying to cover up.
Yes,
buddy, if a man's right with God and serving the Lord and got a burden for soul, he is not interested in trying to bust somebody. You ever met these people that are going around trying to bust people all the time? Well, I've had, you know what I had a man do one time? Sneak up my house, up my driveway in the dark, and snuck up at my house and see if I had a TV and what I was watching or something like that. I don't know. And I'd have shot him if I knew he was out there. And I had one guy, and he come beating on my door wanting to fuss about it. And he said, let me in. I said, no, I'm in here having a fight. And he said, no, let me in. I said, I'll call the cops on you if you don't leave. He finally got mad and left. That ain't a Christian.
No.
Christians don't act like that. God didn't call you to go figure out what everybody else is doing wrong. God did not call you or me to snoop around. And then I've had people try to get me to it and say, Brother Danny, I think something going on. I think let's go over there and try to catch so and so. Listen, God, I'm not police. I'm a preacher. And listen, that you watch out for people that are always trying to catch somebody.
Yeah.
Beware of people that have that attitude. They were out. What was they doing out there? What was them fair? What do you think they was doing out there? On bus route or something? And they found somebody committing adultery and grabbed the woman in? I doubt it. You think they was out witnessing? I doubt it. They was out. I don't know what they was doing. That's right. Yeah. One of their buddies there. I don't know. But... no, I'm going to get to that. I'll be honest with you. I think a parent needs to deserves to know what your kids are doing. But I even gave my daughters, and they're back there tonight. I never did snoop on them too much. I'm not telling you shouldn't. I think you ought to know what your kids are doing, who they're with, and all that kind of stuff. But I did give them a respect them and give them a little bit of privacy. Like, if they had a note in their wallet, I didn't go through their wallet every day and see who was writing it. Because you know kids are going to write stuff to each other, and boys are going to write them, I love you, you, I love you. I give them a certain amount of respect. And I caught them doing some stuff to them, but it was by accident. One time, Krissa and Corey, y'all don't know this, but and Ashton, my niece, they was all getting these, somehow or another, they got some stuff by Britney Spears and they had on CD and everything. And I wouldn't let them listen to rock music. I said, you're not going to listen to rock music in our house. Every parent ought to tell their kid that. Because if a parent goes this far, your kids are going to go that far. Whatever you do in modesty, they'll do in excess. You mark it down. You have to be super strict to make them wind up in the middle when they grow up. And I said, nope, can't do it. Well, I found out they was, and boy, I pitched a fit and busted the CDs and throwed them away. But, you know, deep down in my heart, I was thinking, you know what? They ain't a kid nowhere that isn't drawn toward that music and pulled it up. So I'm not trying to raise a perfect kid. And I'm not saying that my kids are better than everybody else's. They're not. They got just as many faults and still do. They think I don't know, but somehow or another, I usually find out everything they do. And you don't have to police them continually. You don't have to do. You say, well, I'll get my husband's phone and I'll go through all that. Now, if you think he's cheating on you or something like that, that might be all right. But as normal life, God, the Lord didn't call you to bust everybody. Just let the Lord do it. He's well able. Vengeance is mine. I'll repay. So they'd have been better off to have been sitting there at the feet of Jesus getting in on that Bible study than out there trying to catch somebody sinning. A whole lot better. They'd have been better off trying to get some kids or some old drunk and bring him there to hear Jesus than to catch some. They didn't care about her. They had no respect or care for that woman at all. If they did, they'd have done it a little bit different way. So, watch out for people that's always trying to catch somebody. Watch out for people who call him master. Now, verse 5. This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. So they were tempting him. They said, Moses said that you got to stone somebody that does this. What are you going to do? Look what the Lord did. Starts writing in the ground. They didn't have carpet. They had dirt floors in the temple. Isn't that something? Writing like that right there. Just totally ignored them. Totally ignored them. I bet that drove them Pharisees crazy. I bet they thought, he's not even answering us. And you know, the Lord always ignores people like that. You ain't going to get a prayer through if that's your attitude. God ain't going to pay no attention to your prayers. Now, I've heard people say, get them, Lord, get them, get them. God ain't listening to one word you say. Not one word. Every time you point a finger at somebody, there's three pointing back at you. There they are. Every time you point a finger at somebody, there's three pointing back at you. And the Lord just ignored them, started writing on the ground. And notice this. Notice the next verse there. It said, verse 7 said, they continued asking him. Continued. They wouldn't drop it. They just went on and put it on Nosebook. And they put it on Twitter and tweeted and on the news. And they put it in the newspaper. And it just kept on. Woman caught in adultery, 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 woman caught in adultery. They continued on and on and on and on. You know what? Excuse me. The best thing to do, somebody's caught in a sin, bring them to the Lord, get their heart right, and drop it. Ain't no use getting continually talking about it and talking about it and talking about it and talking about it. It does no good. It's like picking at an old sore. It can never go away. They continue. They kept saying, well, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? Ain't you going to do nothing about it? Call an adult. You just going to let this go? What kind of a pastor are you? Are you just going to look over there like, hey, you're a compromiser? Moses said to kill. What do you say? Come on now. Are you going to do something about this? I've had a lot of people come to me. I heard a preacher the other day. He said, good preacher, strong preacher, hard preacher. He said, somebody come to him. He said, Pastor, I need to talk to you. He said, yes, ma'am, have a seat. She said, so and so in this church, her daughter is pregnant. He said, I'm sorry to hear that. She said, well, what are you going to do about it? He said, what do you mean, what am I going to do about it? She said, well, what are you going to do about it? Ain't you going to run them off? What will you do? He said, I think I might go over and visit them and pray with them and maybe buy her some diapers. Amen. She said, what? I can't believe you. You're not going to get up. He said, those kids don't do nothing. They're not Sunday school teachers. They're not officers in our church. They don't even sing in the choir. They don't do nothing. I'm going to give them a chance. before you start cutting people's heads off, the Lord said always there should be a chance for people to make their wrongs right. She said, well, I just can't believe you'd just sweep sin under the rug and let this go. You know, I've been pastoring a long time and I'm always leery of these people that come to me saying, so-and-so's doing this, what are you going to do about it? I'm leery of people like that. I'm very leery of people like that. You know what a lot of times people are? They're jealous because that person's been out in sin. That's what they really want to be doing. That's rough, ain't it? And you know what? He said he went ahead. The girl got right with the Lord. They got right with God. They got married. They done whatever they need to do. They got it right. He said, well, shouldn't you kick them out of church? Listen, that kicking people out of the church business is a case where there is open sin and a person just laughs in your face and says, we're going to live like this. We don't care what you think. Ha, 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 ha. Then you got to say, well, hey, you ain't got no business singing. You ain't got no business doing nothing. If you're in living in willful sin, that's a different ball game. But where a person's heart broke and they repent. Listen, I've had plenty of people stand up and ask the church to forgive them, which I think that's what you ought to be done. If you're a mature person and you've messed up, you ought to stand right there and say, I want everybody in the church to forgive me. And that way nobody can't say nothing. Amen. If it's a private sin, confess it private. If nobody knows it, if everybody knows it, stand up here and say, I've made a mistake, I've done wrong, and brother, after that, it's under the blood and it's gone. And you know what this, and he said, it wasn't but about a year later till that same woman come to him and her daughter was pregnant.
Oh, yeah.
She said, how many times have we seen that happen? Amen. Just remember this, people. Just remember this. I mean, we all want to live right and everything, but what goes around comes around. And what you're hard on other people for, sooner or later you're going to be dealing with it with you or somebody in your family. Just remember that. Hey, Jesus wasn't a compromiser. He was not. Don't you dare accuse him of compromising. He didn't condemn that woman. He told her to go and sin no more. We'll get to that in a minute. But he never condoned it. But he said, neither do I condemn thee. That's what a lot of these independent Baptist preachers can't get through their head. They think if you don't just cut their head off, that you're condoning their sin. Jesus didn't condone it. He said, I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more.
Amen.
You repented, get it right, done. That woman's daughter was pregnant. And you know what happened to her? She comes and said, preacher, what are we going to do about this? He said, I'm going to do the same thing I did last time. I'm going to go buy her some diapers and take her. And she was glad this time that she had a compassionate pastor and not wanted. It's so easy when somebody else messes up to say, kill them. So easy. But when it comes to us or our family, we want the church to have mercy and the church to forgive. And the church said, now it's real hard. It's real hard. And some of you guys, if you've never pastored a church, you just don't know how hard it is to stand against sin and not compromise, but at the same time be forgiving and merciful and have forgiveness. That's tough. It's tough. There's always people saying you're too hard and always people saying you're not hard enough. If I say anything, people, if I say you ought to do this, you know, people get mad. And if I don't, people say, well, you're too loose on people. And if I say something, you're too hard on people. It's impossible to please everybody. All we can go by is what the Lord said. And the Lord said, he said, look, he stooped down and wrote on the ground the second time. But before he did, he lifted up himself. They kept bringing it up and bringing it up and bringing it up. And he looked at them crowd and he said, whichever one of you guys is without sin, throw your first stone. Because Moses said to stone them, take rocks and just beat their brains out. They probably had their rocks right there ready, right then. We're going to stone her. And the Lord said, are you sinless? Go ahead and throw your rock. And they couldn't do it. They couldn't do it. And we can't either. We can't either. I mean, before you start throwing a rock at somebody else, you better check yourself out. Amen. Your sin, their sin might not be adultery, but it could be something else. Amen. It could be stealing your tithes. It could be just being lazy. It can be no lack of faith. All kind of stuff like that. So the Lord said, he that is without sin, cast the first stone. And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Okay. Now, let's see what happens. They were tempting him. They wanted to catch him sinning. They didn't care nothing about revival. They didn't care nothing about that woman. All they wanted to do was catch Jesus doing something wrong. And the second time he bent down and wrote like that on the ground, the eldest looked down and said, "Boy, I just happened to think I got some things I need to do around the house." And turned around and walked out. And then the next one said, "Yeah, me too. Maybe it's not that big a deal." He walked out. And the next one, I don't know how many there was, the next one says, "I ain't got nothing to say." He walks out. And you can imagine the people. And here's that woman the whole time just looking at the Lord like, "I'm a low down scum. I know I'm wicked. I know I'm wicked." And they started walking out one at a time. I wonder what all these other people thought when they seen all that happen. Like, whoa. Wow. Man, I ain't never seen nobody rebuke the Pharisees like that. Now, the question comes up, what did he write on the ground? I've heard it preached every way in the world. The best I've ever heard was Mays Jackson. I've heard it preached, and of course, you know, I've heard preachers say he wrote all their sins one by one. I've heard preachers say he wrote down the Ten Commandments one by one. I like what Mays Jackson always said. He preached, and this probably ain't true, but I like it. He said, old Mays Jackson said, he wrote down there, "Justice called, but mercy answered." That's pretty good, isn't it? Justice called, but mercy answered. And old Mays, he'd just, woo, shout and preach that right on. And that's good. But the truth is this. Probably what he did. And I've heard this talk too, and this is probably right. Turn in your Bible to Deuteronomy 22, and I'll show you what he probably wrote. They were all about the law, and they were all about the keeping the law. And the law, you got to realize, these people didn't do their Bible like we do nowadays. They lived by that law. They lived in that law, day and night. That's all they thought about, all they talked about. 24 hours a day, the law, the law, the law, the law, the law. They knew it backwards and forwards. They knew it almost by heart. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and Deuteronomy, they knew it. Look at Deuteronomy 22. And this is probably what he wrote. Look at it. Deuteronomy 22:22. Probably Jesus wrote this. If a man be found lying with a woman, married to an husband, then they shall both of them die. Both the man that lay with the woman and the woman. So shalt thou put away evil from Israel. And he wrote, and everybody's, where's the man? You mean you're going to catch a man and a woman commit adultery in the very act, and you know the law says kill them both, and you're just going to grab the woman and bring her to the Lord and let the man go? Might have been a friend of theirs. Yeah. Might have been one of them. Yeah. I don't know. Why didn't they bring the man? Now you ladies, listen ladies, you always learn a lesson from the Bible. Every time, usually a young girl gets pregnant, people talk, "Oh, that's sorry, good for nothing, low down." Well, the boy gets away scot-free and the girl gets talked about like a dog. Isn't that the way, that's the way people are? And that ain't right. That ain't right. He's just as guilty as she is. And most of the time, more. Because he talks her into it. Most time a boy is way more guilty than the girl. Of course, nowadays that's changing. But most of the time, it's the boy is more guilty than the girl. Most of the time. And he gets out for nothing, and she has to bear most of the shame and the blame. He's off getting two or three more girls pregnant while she's having to live without. But the Bible said both of them die. Both of them die. So they had to grab that woman and say, "Hey man, get out of here. What's wrong with you, nut?" And took her to Jesus, or else it was somebody that they knew. Can you imagine how they must have felt? They were convicted by their conscience when they heard that. They were convicted. All right? Anybody want to say anything on that right quick? Now move on.
I just think it's neat that the eldest left first. Mm-hmm. The younger guys were tougher and had all them convictions, but them guys have lived long enough to realize that they made a few mistakes.
Right. Yeah.
And just in a few words, he exposes their total hypocrisy.
That's right.
They're just flat out hypocrites. They didn't bring the man. not only did they not bring the man, but if they really believed the Bible like they said they did, they'd have stoned her anyway.
That's right. All they was doing was trying to catch him doing wrong. That's all they cared about. They didn't care if somebody's committing adultery. They didn't care. All they was trying to do is prove Jesus wrong because they was jealous of him. They was jealous of his power and his authority, and that's some of the wickedest. Listen, I believe I heard Gene Googe. He's preaching Sunday evening. Brother Gene, you know, he'd been a friend. I was preaching when Gene got saved. And he'd been a friend of mine for years. He's saying there's sins of the flesh and there's sins of the spirit. Sins of the flesh are adultery, fornication, you know, like sins of the spirit, all that pride and envy and self-righteousness and stuff. And he said, in the Bible, sins of the spirit are worse and carry a worse penalty. Those sins of the spirit, buddy, they hated him. Notice, she was okay. She loved the Lord. She said, I'm a dog. I know I ought to go to hell. Have mercy on me. But they hated him. See, it's the different. The world looks at it like, wow, that old slut, look at that old wicked woman, good night, these fine religious men. That ain't the way the Lord saw it that day. She was more right with God. She was wrong, but she was more right with God than they was. Now, let me show you that. Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. And when Jesus lifted up himself, he saw none but the woman. That don't mean all them people left. It just means the Pharisees left. He said unto them, woman, where are those thine accusers? Where are they at? Has no man condemned you? And she said, no man, Lord. There you go. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Good night. Good night. God does not deal with us as men would deal with us. People love to highlight other people's sin. If thou shouldest mark iniquity, Lord, who shall stand? But I'm glad that he don't. Amen. The Lord said, go and sin no more. He said, I love you and I forgive you. Now go, but quit doing that. Don't do that no more. Change. That's what repentance is. That's all she had to do. Straighten up. Get it right with God and don't do it again. Amen. That's the way the Lord deals with sinners. That's the way. The Lord don't just say, well, I love you, keep sinning. No, that ain't real love. The Lord said, I love you. And you going to get your heart right? Okay, I don't condemn you. Now you go and make the changes that you need to make. Stay away from that old guy over there. Stay away from whoever it was. Get your life on track. Get your family in church. Do right, and I'll bless you. Okay, anybody else got a question on that right quick? Or a comment? It's an amazing story. Yeah.
I've heard compared to how they actually kept the law in the heart.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
I thought that was pretty.
It is. It is. I'm.
Good thing is without God's mercy,
that's right. I'm glad mercy won out here. I'm glad the Lord don't do us like people do us.
Amen.
If He did, we'd all be in trouble. Every one of us here tonight, we'd be condemned. Because the world, people that you work with, so-and-so, I know them. They go over there shining light. I ain't got no confidence in them. Because you slipped up one time, and boy, they marked you for life. But thank God the Lord don't do that. If your heart gets right, the Lord says, neither do I condemn thee. Anybody else? Right quick, we'll stop.
I just want to say a couple verses that help me. And I appreciate our church. And it's taught me a lot over the past 10 years, especially, about having grace.
Amen.
And then it says, walk humbly without God. And them guys wasn't doing that. But then
amen.
Over in Galatians, he says, if a brother be overtaken in a fault, will you which are spiritual restore such one, the spirit of meekness. But then I like this word. He said, consider thyself likewise, lest thou also be tempted. And just like you said, anybody I've ever seen who came down hard with somebody else, all just about always met that thing back in the
yeah.
again.
Yeah.
I've seen it over and over and over.
I have too.
And a lot of them have been people that I've seen come against you that come right back to meet that thing again,
yeah.
Yeah. And I've learned a lesson from that thing. And I heard a guy, there's a guy arguing. Me and Brother Garrett was talking to a guy the other day on Facebook. And he was coming down on everybody for going to watch a movie. And Brother Derek and he don't agree with the movie. And I don't necessarily agree with the movie either. But this guy was just giving people down the road about it, saying they weren't saved and everything. And And he said, well, then the sin would be before all. I said, man, that's that pastor's job to do that. Timothy, that pastor Timothy,
gives
that job to his church. That's not your job to do to everybody out in the world, you know?
You got to watch out for people that's. I don't see how a man can think it's his business to get on there and tell you what you can do in your private time. You know, you might not agree with it, but he has no business telling you how you have to live your life or don't live your life. He wastes his time. I mean, I don't know. So, independent Baptist preachers are some of the worst I know in the world. To try to run your life, and if you don't do every little thing exactly the way they believe it, you're just out. And that ain't right. That ain't right. That ain't right. We wish everybody would live right all the time, but we don't. You have people that are different stages in the Christian life. You have some that are just babies. You have some that are mature. You have some that stay carnal for years and years, and you don't prove it. The hardest thing you have to do as a preacher is come down hard on sin, but still love people and be merciful and forgiveness. That's the hard part. That's the hard part. Because if I come down on it too hard, people say, well, you don't love people. But if you don't come down hard, people say, well, you're not against sin. And y'all have, please, have mercy on me on that, because no matter where I drop the hammer, it's too hard for some and too soft for others. And I try to drop it right where the Lord had had me to. I really, really do try to be fair. I really do. I try to be fair and right with God, but merciful and graceful and have compassion too. I really do. I try my best to do that. Anybody else right quick? Amen. Jesus, remember this, Jesus did not condone. Just because he did not condemn, he did not condone. He didn't say, that ain't no big deal. I ain't mad at you. It's them wicked guys I don't like. He didn't say that. He told her to go and sin no more. So don't take it like, oh, well, the Lord loves me, so it don't matter what I do. That ain't what he said. He said, I do love you, and I don't condemn you, but quit this junk. Amen? That's right. Anybody else, right quick? That's right. That's right. He sure could have. That's a good point. He sure could have. He could have thrown a stone, buddy, because he should have said, I'm going to fulfill the law right here. Bam! But he didn't. Huh?
But again, the man wasn't present.
Yeah. I wonder who that sorry rascal was. Somebody she met on Nosebook. Yeah. That's right. He headed out of town. Sorry, boy. He headed out of town. All right. We're going to stop right there.